Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Good morning, everybody. Hopefully you didn't hear that cough. If you did, I apologize. There's lots of sickness going around. I got sick a couple of weeks ago, still just getting over it, and I hear from a lot of people it lasts about 3 weeks. Unfortunately, Jan is, I talked to her this morning, and she couldn't speak. That's how sick she is. So hopefully you guys are avoiding the crud. That's all I'm going to say. But hope you had a great Easter, and hope that you're ready to start rocking the second quarter and start making some great things happening. I've been working pretty hard since I've gotten back from my conference. Just finished up a new course on working with virtual assistants, and that's live. If you want to check it out, go to workingwithvirtualassistants.com. And just doing a whole bunch of other stuff, kind of, you know, keeping the motors running and, you know, again, always transitioning and moving forward. And that's essentially what this show is all about, is how do we transition from point A to point B. If you haven't heard my story before, I'll kind of give you a brief synopsis. I've been through a lot of different transitions, including this job, which I've been at now for about 14 years, running my own company. And when I started out, I was making business card CDs. And it's kind of really hard to find a computer with a CD player or even the programs that I used to develop them on, since everything's delivered over the web now via the cloud. So, you know, you have to learn to evolve as time goes on, whether you're changing positions, whether you're running your own company, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's change happens all the time. So that's really kind of the key of this show, is trying to help you figure out, okay, what's next? You know, how do I find that next job? How do I grow my business? What can I do to transcend what's happening in front of me? And as you guys know, especially in the world of online marketing or anything like that today, it's definitely a challenge, because as you can hear, things are ringing and doing all that fun stuff. it's a challenge because things change so fast. So that's the challenge that we have to do, is we have to keep up with all that change, because if we don't, there are people that will. And so we need to make sure that, you know, we're keeping our heads above water the whole time and dealing with all of those changes. Anyways, we have a great guest today. His name is Andy Friedman. And Andy, are you with us?
Yes.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks so much for having me on.
No, thanks for coming on. Sorry again, Jan is sick. As a matter of fact, that's who was calling in the middle of this. I think she finally woke up and said, oh, I'm supposed to be on, but she's too sick to make the show. Hopefully you didn't get the crud, did you?
Feeling great. A little caffeine,
good.
Take care of everything.
There you go. So why don't you let us know a little bit about you and your history, where you've been, what you're doing, that kind of stuff. Let's start off there.
Well, thanks so much once again. So I'm 54 years old. And I'd been working 27 straight years, no problems. Been working consistently, ever-increasing responsibility, a lot of great jobs in media. And I kind of felt sort of untouchable. I think you might know what I'm talking about. But after dabbling in a couple of the startups, you might kind of be familiar, at age 51, I found myself out on the street, unemployed, unaware of what to do, hadn't interviewed for a job for a number of years, hadn't updated my resume since the 90s, and really had to learn how to get back on my feet, how to enter the job market and successfully transition back to the working world by myself. So it was a real rude wake-up call. It did work out. It turned out I went with another startup 6 months later. I had to do it yet again. That was almost 2 years ago, and ever since then I've had a great position with a great company, Penton Media, a B2B publishing company that's well-known in sort of B2B media circles. But along the way, I kind of learned what 50-plus job seekers need to do to avoid the similar fate that a lot of them share, which is, according to the government, the average 50-plus job seeker is out of work 55 weeks, and once they do get a job, they accept a salary that's 18% less. So how
right.
do you avoid that? How do you keep that from being you? That is sort of what I explored.
Gotcha. And, boy, I know a lot of people in that in that arena, because it's so commonplace now. I mean, when you and I started, actually we have one thing in common. We're both 54. So when I first started, I was working with AT&T, and, you know, my dad said, hey, you're going to have this job for life. Well, that's not the case anymore. I mean, that stuff just doesn't exist. And the average job nowadays is anywhere between 3 to 5 years is about how long they last. And so it's really a different world out there. So tell us about, you know, what you went through in that transition. I mean, obviously it's a little bit of shock and awe when you're hitting the street and it's like, wait a minute, things are different here. So tell us your story.
Well, I kind of did a lot of things wrong and had to learn a lot of things the hard way. But the main thing I think I did right, actually, was talk to a lot of people and kind of keep my mind open and sort of figure out what does work. How can you be the one person who sticks out? How can you get a job that's actually better? How can you find out what is the color of your own parachute? And I tried to really focus on a fit. How
mm-hmm.
could I focus on what I wanted to do? How could I focus on what I was good at doing, how I could contribute? Because a lot of people, as you know, just get a job that's not quite a fit. It pays a few of the bills, and they're from
right.
the frying pan into the fire. It doesn't really work out for them. There goes their confidence. So what I really tried to focus on, I ended up actually writing a book, and it's not really a bestseller. It's more of a worst seller, actually, but it's called 50 Steps for 50-Year-Old Job Seekers, and I kind of consider it a public service. And, you know, I'm one of these guys who will sort of meet with anybody who's looking for
mm-hmm.
work. I'll hang out at the Starbucks, and I'll apply a lot of these principles and end up usually giving the book free to whoever wants it. But at the same time, I find that a 50-step process does work, and, you know, most of them are kind of concurrent, not necessarily consecutive, and I try to figure
mm-hmm.
out, work with people, how do you focus on bringing out your personal very best? How do you get your mental health together so you can be effective in the job search and really focus on what makes sense and kind of come into a routine and go through a process that seems to have a much better chance of helping people succeed rather than the flailing around and panicking that unfortunately so many people do, and that unfortunately I did a little bit of myself in the beginning. So I think you have to look inside, and then you have to look outside kind of in that process, and that's really going to help, and that's what I focused on.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, just the book sounds great. Now, is that available on Amazon too, or do you have to have a Starbucks with you to get it?
Well, both, really. You go. I priced it about as low as I could. I think it was like $3.99, but if anybody is really having kind of a hard time and every penny must count, you know, go ahead and email me. But you can go to the website, jobs@50.com, mm-hmm. and you can find out a little more information about that as well as how to contact me. So
that's awesome. So great resource for people, because I mean, I think having gone through it yourself, I mean, you obviously have a lot of experience that I think, you know, most people don't want to go through that. You did, and you're sharing, you know, what works for you. That's great. Yeah, and I'm at the website now, and I see that's awesome. So how did you find the job that you're in now? I mean, what was it, through networking connections? Was it through research? Did they find you? I mean, how did you all of a sudden align yourself with a company that seemed like a good fit?
Well, I knew what I wanted. Because once you start looking for a job, even if you network or if you go online, and there's amazing resources out there that are almost overwhelming if you sign up for some of these sites like Indeed or Beyond or Job Starter or the Ladders or whatever, they will deluge you with emails that have been sort of set by filters that you come up with, and you will get almost too many opportunities. So I think the first process is knowing what you're good at and what you want to do, maybe kind of in reverse order. And in fact, a lot of employers, the first question out of their mouth is going to be, what do you want to do, Brian? And that might kind of be taken aback. You're thinking, well, it's really all about them. They're asking me what I want to do. But at the end of the day, it is all about them because they want a fit. And the first part of that is somebody who knows what they want to do, and what they want to do has something in common with the job. So kind of knowing where you fit is really going to cut out a lot of the clutter. And that's kind of what happened to me. I knew that I had a certain skill set. I really looked at it, and I was able to kind of tell my story in an alternate way that would be understandable to them. I mean, that's a really important thing that any job seeker needs to be able to do, because you want to avoid that translatable skills conversation at every cost. You don't want to say, well, I've done this, it's kind of like that, so I could do that. Doesn't work. They want to have a low-risk hire. They want to have certainty in that hire, somebody who knows what they want to do. So I did that. I knew about the industry. B2B media was something a little different than what I had done before, but I kind of knew how to talk about it in their language. So when I read the job description, I got a very good understanding of what they wanted from the position. I knew how to talk to them about it, and I knew a little bit about their company and their industry, and I was able to speak very intelligently in the interview, and a lot of things kind of happened along the process that I could talk about that really helped me get not only the job, but an up-leveled version of that job, which really was a great thing for me.
That's awesome. Now, is your background, I'm just looking through your LinkedIn profile, which I always love to do in the middle of a show because it's really educational. Did you work a little bit in Clear Channel, a little bit at the Tribune? Was your background primarily in media production? Was it content development? Or what was your background?
Yeah, I've always been in media content development. Back in the day, of course, I was a journalist, but at the same time, media content development is pretty much what I've done since the year 2000 with a focus on new media. So I had worked in a number of different venues, and being able to kind of translate that story to the different places that I went to was kind of a challenge. And I think that's one thing not enough people do. And I think it just goes to making that fit kind of happen with a new company so they're very comfortable with you, and at the same time you know what you're getting in, you know what you're going to have to do and how you're going to have to work not only with the position they are in the business world but also with the culture.
The reason I ask that is because you have a very eloquent way of saying how to go into a job interview, which is very much like writing copy or developing things, messages online. And that is, you start with the story. You don't go in with the features, because that's not, you know, people don't buy, you know, blue dials or red dials. They, you know, ones that feel smooth. There's the emotional keywords and things like that. So you started off with your story, and you talked about how you aligned your connection to their connection and those kind of things, and I think that's incredibly important. It's basically you have to learn a skill, which is something most people don't have, and that's how to be your own brand and how to make sure that, you know, any kind of brand has to match itself with its right audience. And essentially what you were talking about is matching your personal brand with the brand of the business so there's a good fit. How does that sound?
Well, I think you said it exactly right. You know, that's something that is easier said than done. That's that feels good to hear you say that. It's a nice compliment. It's something I definitely try to do, and it's not easy. And I think if you're like me, you're really tired of hearing people talk about your personal brand. And it's something that if you're in networking or you go to job coaching or whatever, you're going to hear a ton about almost too much. And it's a little scary, but it's so important. As you know, Brian, people really make up their mind about you in the first few seconds after they meet you. And this is both online, which is so important nowadays, and in person. So that's why, for example, your LinkedIn profile is really, really, really really important just to kind of get not only the information in there right and the search keywords in there right, but the appearance and the feeling of it right for what you want to project. And when you're in person with people, you really want to get that right too. You want to dress right. You want to act in kind of a similar fashion that they're acting so they feel comfortable with you. And you know, one of the things I say in my book that might sound a little bit off the wall is it's important to maybe ask a wife or a significant other or a good friend, what are the things about me that other people are going to notice? They're not going to say anything about it, but it is going to affect their judgment. For example, I know a guy who's been out of work for a long time, can't quite seem to connect with the job, and he doesn't quite shave properly. He leaves a little stubble there. It's not like he looks in the mirror before he goes somewhere, and he's in the financial services accounting field, and that's where you have to be very precise, so people might make an unconscious judgment. This guy, Ed, he's not careful with himself. He's not going to be careful with my money. So he might have a hard time with it, and it doesn't look like he takes care of his teeth. There are a lot of people like that. Maybe they'll talk too close to you. They talk loud. They have, you know, maybe when they eat with other people at a networking event, they might have very poor table manners. There's a lot of that kind of stuff that holds you back, and you have to know it about yourself. Everybody has something like that. I certainly do or did, but I tried to pay attention to it and, you know, ask those hard questions. Those things, you don't hear much about that, but boy, does it ever make a difference. And is it important to key in on those kinds of things when you're trying to make that split-second first impression with somebody or a group of people?
Yeah, you know, you brought back kind of a funky memory. I worked at Arthur Andersen for a short stint, and I was hired in as a management level because that's just where I was at the time. And they actually sent you to manager school, and manager school included how to sit down at a table and eat, where the forks and things go. And, you know, at the time I'm going, wow, I really don't know this stuff. It was so foreign to me because it just, you know, in working in the creative field, we really didn't have to do that. And then I also found out after a while I wasn't a really good fit for it either because that just wasn't me, you know. So you've really got to learn. I love the fact that you said, you know, get other people to give you honest feedback because I think that's incredibly important. But then you also have to figure out where your own comfort zone is because, you know, I'm sure people try to reinvent themselves into a corner and it's really not them and they can maybe pull it off for a little while but not do it, you know, perpetuity. Have you seen that before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go to some of these networking events, especially in the tech field that I kind of work in, and there's some guys who are a little bit older, and you see that they're trying to dress like a 30-year-old hipster. You know, they got the blue shoes with the white soles, they got the torn-up jeans, and I kind of look at them and go, oh, no, that's not good. You want to be yourself always. You definitely want to do that, but you want to be kind of a contemporary and relatable version of yourself to make that great first impression. And also, when you're at a networking event or you're in a job interview or whatever, don't forget the most important thing, the most interesting thing to other people is themselves. So the more questions you can ask in an interview, I've heard somebody take say the expression, the consultative approach to an interview is a really great thing to do. And I found that when I tried to do that, that really helped me. The interview lasted longer. They were more interested. There was more opportunity there. When you go to a networking event, if you're like me, I'm nervous, not quite sure what to talk to complete strangers about, don't want to talk to them at all anyway. But then if you have an opening line like, hey, I'm Andy, how are you? That usually works, and then tell me what you do, what's your, you know, why are you here, and what business are you in, and how's that going? You're going to have a great conversation. They're going to think you're interesting, even though they just talked about themselves, and guess what? You might learn something, and you'll get a good connection, and you'll find out a little something that maybe you didn't know before that you'll instantly be able to use. I think one thing about that is when you're networking to give and networking to learn, you are going to be even more qualified, even more relatable, even smarter than you were in a job interview situation than you would have been when you were working. So you're going to, if you look at it that way, you're really bringing a upgraded version of yourself to that job interview situation if you're able to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome advice. It's we've had a lot of networking experts on, and they basically say all the same thing. It's like the minute you take the focus off yourself and start learning from other people, it does some amazing things. And a lot of times, those are the people that could lead to the connection to the job that you might get, rather than saying, "Hey, I'm a, you know, I've seen so many people show up at networking events and they turn around and say, "Yeah, I'm currently unemployed and I'm looking." That doesn't do much good. It's like, okay, you're unemployed and looking. Well, good luck with that. As opposed to, you know, getting to know somebody else. And, you know, once they finally get to you, then you should have that kind of positive attitude and say, you know, hey, I'm a, you know, expert in whatever it is. I'm an expert in basket weaving. And, man, I've weaved some incredible baskets. They're in the Basket Weaving Hall of Fame. And, you know, I really love baskets. And, you know, if you come out with that positive attitude, it really kind of gives a completely different emphasis on who you are, what you do, and those kind of things. So in the process of all of the, you know, the transitions that you've gone through, what would say, I know you got 50 steps, but what would be like your top three key things that you would say to somebody who's 50 plus looking to find a job? What would be the top three things?
Well, first of all, I would say that just off the top of my head, they're all important. But if I had to pick a few things, I would say build a routine. Fill up your calendar. Live by your calendar. Build time into your calendar to work out, to be with your kids, to, you know, exercise, to sleep, to go to a movie. And fill up your calendar a week in advance just to go see people. And live by that calendar so you do have kind of that professional cadence to your life. That's very important. Taking a hard look at your skill set and what's translatable and what applies elsewhere and how to tell that story in other industries' language, that is really, really useful. For example, I was a content manager, but then when I started looking at agencies and I looked at what I actually did, I was like, oh, I could be an account manager. I never even thought of that. So that's something that you can really do just in terms of thinking about what it is you can do, opportunities you have ahead of you in different places that are interesting, that are personal growth opportunities where you can go apply your skills. I would say getting your LinkedIn profile optimized is definitely a must for everybody. Have a great picture. The new trend is taking the pictures outside, make it nice and bright and yet professional and friendly, and making sure that the top part of the profile is absolutely succinct. That is going to help the jobs find you. Getting as many connections as you can get is going to help your search within LinkedIn, because you want those recruiters to find you, and having an idea of the keywords they are going to type in when they're looking for somebody like you is really going to help you. So another, I would say, a final thing to do is, let's say you've interviewed for a position that's gone well and they're not calling you and it's going to drive you crazy and you're wondering, why aren't they calling? Do I contact them again? Do I ask them again? Do I send another email? Do I call, leave a voicemail? What do I do? One thing I find that helped me get two simultaneous job offers within 5 minutes of each other during the summer of 2013 is to do a presentation, do a little 10-page action plan, which is, here is what I would do in the position, and take a lot of the vernacular from the job description, which really articulates what the business problem is that they're trying to solve with this position, and just talk about what you would do. And then maybe contact them and say, you know what? Haven't talked for a while, but I've been doing some thinking about your business opportunity or company, and I've come up with a little plan that could be interesting for you. Would you like to have another meeting where I present that plan? That way you're going to get another meeting with them. And then when I did that with my current position, I got a response back within an hour, and they hadn't contacted me for 3-4 weeks since a series of three great interviews. So I was wondering what was going on. Turns out they were deciding internally what to do with the position. Once I presented my action plan, that gave them a clearer idea of what to do with the position. As I said, they up-leveled it, and I came in as an executive director of two very large groups. And that was a tremendous opportunity for me, but it was really that presentation that kind of pushed it over the edge. And I did the same thing with another position. I got another job offer, as I said, within 5 minutes, so that really helped. I don't think a lot of people do that. They just spend that downtime between contacts worrying about if the company is going to call with an offer or what. And this is a way you can really kind of grab control. So, I mean, I don't know if I went over time there, but that's a great thing that helped me.
No, you didn't go overtime, and we got about 5 minutes left, but you bring up a couple of really key points that I really love and I think are very incredibly important. And I run into this. I teach a lot of social media, online marketing, and things like that. And I show up at what are called TUG groups. These are, I forget what TUG stands for. Bottom line, it's just groups of people looking for jobs. And a lot of times I'll go and they'll talk about LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and all these things. And I just get these blank stares. It's like, well, I didn't have to use that before. Why do I have to use it now? And I think that some people don't understand that the world has changed in front of them and they have to learn some new skill sets. And one of the skill sets that you bring up is learning what works inside of LinkedIn. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about just make a great profile, but a lot of people have no idea what a great profile is. You know, there's some components to it, and you brought up some great points about the keywords and things like that. But the other thing that's incredibly important is you came at it with presentation skills. You came at it with actually developing a plan that you had an opportunity to go in front of these people, and I think that's a new skill that people could learn. And so one of the things that in this time, you set scheduled time for your kids, go to a movie, exercise, all those other things. I think one of the things that people need to schedule is time to teach themselves some new stuff. What do you think?
Oh, you could not be more right. My goodness. I think if you look at a time between jobs as a time to get current in your field, that is actually one of the steps that I talk about. It is so important. And the places where you can find that knowledge are everywhere. It's online. Mm-hmm. You can pick you can say, I'm going to read one blog a day. So, for example, in my field, there's something called the Orbit Media blog. Andy Crestedina runs a great digital mm-hmm. agency here in Chicago called Orbit Media. He has a blog. Mm-hmm. It translates all this complicated online marketing stuff into English. And mm-hmm. Everything's a good 10-minute read. You just read one of those blog posts a day, maybe reread it if you didn't understand everything. You're going to be a whole lot smarter. Going to freemeetup.com, networking sessions where somebody at the top of their field is just talking about current practice and something. Great way to open your eyes in something. Meeting with a friend or just somebody even you find on LinkedIn. Say, you have a great skill set here. Can you talk to me about how they do that, how you do this, and what works for you? I don't know enough about it. Can you just talk to me? People love to talk about themselves and why they're excellent at something and having somebody approach them and say, I don't know enough about this is great. One thing that mm-hmm. older job seekers are going to find is age discrimination immediately when they approach a job search or networking situation. So if you can proactively kind of counterbalance that by sort of I want to say going against the stereotypes of older workers as not in tune with current practice, not up on technology, not up on social media trends, and you have mm-hmm. some of that knowledge going into it, boy, that is going to prevent people from thinking there's somebody who's sort of old school, tired,
right,
and they don't know what people need to know with this job or with our company as we're trying to be very progressive, and I'm going to not think that that person might be a good prospect. So it's just so important in so many ways. I think you raise a great point.
Thank you. Yeah, and the other thing that, you know, I'd be amiss if I didn't do some shameless self-promotion, but I do a podcast called Bacon Podcast, and there's a lot of great podcasts out there that explain a lot of this stuff, and it's free if you go up on iTunes. And so there's lots of stuff, like you said, and you know, check out those because there's a lot of good ones out there that'll help you at least get some principles and things that you may not know about. Hey, this has been awesome. I really appreciate your insight and some great advice and stuff like that. Andy, if people wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
I think they could just go to my website, jobs@50.com, or they could just send me an email at afriedman, that's Friedman, afriedman847@gmail.com. I'll answer every email that is sent to me and try to help anybody. And, you know, if they want a copy of the book, I'll just send it. So afriedman847@gmail.com is how to find me.
All right, Andy, this has been fabulous. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it. And it'll be live shortly. I'll send you a link. We just connected up on LinkedIn, so which is always a good thing. And hope to talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks so much for the opportunity. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Andy. Take care.
Bye.
So anyway, some more great information. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Some great resources. Again, check out his website at jobs@50.com, and also check out the Bacon Podcast. We will talk to you guys next week. Hopefully, Jan will be back in full swing, and I'll be 100%. So till then, rock out.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgameco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, thanks for tuning in.